welcome to Freeform Radio on the Freeform Network. You can follow us on Facebook at Freeform Network. We're under Twitter under FFR Podcast. And remember to send your questions, suggestions, comments, hate, love to ffnquestions@gmail.com. And the guys are back at them. We have Danny today.
On the ones and twos over here, flipping switches, man. I got this mixer. I don't know what all these buttons do, but they're blinking and it looks like it's working.
It's lit up like a Christmas tree, Danny. Yeah. So, and we got, it's all good, Andy here. We're at them. We were having a brief discussion before we jumped on. I want to hear everybody's thoughts on guys using lotion. So hit us up on the Gmail at the ffnquestions@gmail.com. Is it cool? Is it not cool? Is it accepted?
Is it better to have ashy skin? Yeah.
Can we bully people if they use lotion, especially men? Or is that too weird in today's times? But let us know what you guys think. But with that being said, we're back. It's, the day after, not the day after, but Valentine's is in the air. But before we get to all that, Valentine usually leads to marriage. And Danny has been watching the now famous Kylo Ren and Scarlet Witch movie, Marriage Story. What did you think? I think you mentioned it's Oscar winning. I've seen trailers. I've seen clips of it. It seemed kind of intense, but I haven't watched it. What are your thoughts on it, Danny? Is it a must watch? Is it a Danny thumbs up, thumbs down, 2.0, or what? Tell us what you think about it.
Yeah, so I myself don't usually watch the Oscars and all that nomination stuff. It's not really my thing. But I did hear about a few movies. You know, this Parasite, I think, is one of them, that Korean movie. And Marriage Story.
That won an Oscar, too.
Right. That one I haven't seen yet. But Marriage Story was one that I did see. I saw it was nominated, and I kind of remember seeing a trailer about it because it had Kylo Ren in it and Scarlett Johansson. So I was just like, oh, this is probably pretty cool. You know, it would probably be good to see this Star Wars actor in a different light other than him just having a mask and talking in, you know, like our Earl Grey, or what's that guy's name? The
Earl Grey.
The Darth Vader guy. Earl, what's his name?
Mufasa? You're on this one. Mustafa. We're going to Lion King now.
Mufasa. The voice of Mufasa.
James Earl Jones.
James Earl Jones. That Earl guy. But yeah, you know, I wanted to check it out to kind of see how this Marriage Story was, since it was nominated. And it seemed like people were kind of high on it. So I got to let you know, it was okay. It was okay. It was super intense. It seemed really based on, like, reality. It wasn't like that Lifetime channel, typical, you know, love story kind of thing. It wasn't that style. It seemed more based in reality and the kind of, you know, sometimes pettiness that could happen, or the how you become self-centered and don't really think about the other person. And a lot of those aspects are, you know, developed in this movie. So I did think it was good. It's not a great movie. I guess it's because of the ending that kind of left me like, damn, that's the way they're going to end this thing. But the way it ended is how a lot of relationships do end. So I guess at the end of it, I don't want to spoil it because it is a lot of story-based development. So I don't want to give up any kind of plot points or heavy plot points. But that Kylo Ren, man, he acted very well. It was very believable. Even Scarlett Johansson, kind of like that Me Too kind of woman. It was very believable. So, yeah, I think people, for the most part, will enjoy it. Compared to, like, the Joker and some of the other ones, I couldn't see it winning out against that because I thought the Joker was excellent. But it was definitely a good movie.
So real quick, for the Academy Awards of 2019, which is not too long ago, it got nominated for Best Picture, Best Original Screenplay, Best Actor, Best Actress, and it also got nominated for Best Supporting Actress, which actually won. Laura Dern won it, so I didn't know she was in it. And it got 6 nominations, so, and I see Ray Liotta's in it, so. Actually does have a good ensemble cast, so
yeah,
you know, looking what I see right now on the wikis, it does look half decent. Like I said, I've seen the trailer, it looked kind of intense, and I'm like, I don't know if I want to see Kylo Ren and Scarlet Witch break up.
Yeah, it is that, man. It's very intense. A lot of heavy points in relationships. Especially marriages that are having a little bit of a tough time. So it you know, it was believable. You know, everything I saw was like, damn, I could believe that shit would happen. And damn, and the next thing would happen, you'd be like, yeah, I could see that happening. So everything was within the realm of, reasoning and things that would happen. So if you're into those kind of, I don't even want to say like romantic stories, but it's up there. It's got very good acting. I believe the nominations for Best Actor and Best Actress, and even the supporting actor, the Ray Liotta character, was very well done, as well as the commander for Star Wars, that lady. You mentioned her name, but I forgot it already.
Yeah, Laura Dern. She is right. I forgot. I mean, that's how Star Wars people. Laura Dern was in not the last Star Wars, the one that got panned. Yeah, and she's been in a lot of movies, and she's done a lot of great independent movies. And it's good to see her that she won for an Oscar for Best Supporting Actor. You know, she was in Jurassic Park.
Right, I forgot.
So she's been in a lot of blockbusters, but also she's done a lot of independent movies, and she's done a lot of movies that I've liked over the years, but Ray Liotta, seeing that on there, I was kind of shocked, but I mean, that's interesting. I mean, do you think, I'm assuming they got married young, right, and then they just ran into problems, and they're like, let's get divorced or let's split up or something? I'm assuming what I've seen, that it's something along that line, because we all know a lot of people that got married young and they get divorced later.
Right,
on.
Right. Yeah. Even the big, how their relationship was put together was sort of her describing where their relationship was to the Star Wars lady, because she's
the Star Wars lady is like the counselor or the therapist.
No, she's actually her lawyer. So it's
really?
It's like her lawyer friend or and she's like describing their relationship to her, and in describing the relationship, this is where I got kind of lost, because she drops a couple of names of characters that you don't get to see, so it's more just her kind of, telling her side of the story. And the gist that I got, and I actually meant to ask my wife after the movie was over, but we really didn't talk too much about it. But the gist
I
got.
Hear your point of view, woman.
But the gist that I got is that she was an actress. The character that she plays is an actress.
Scarlett Johansson.
Right. Yeah, mm-hmm. She's an actress. She's in L.A. or somewhere about there, and she's like trying to get discovered. And she's engaged with this guy, or she's really like heavily in a relationship with this guy. And I think, yeah, she was engaged, if I remember right. And then for whatever reason, she decides to take a little sabbatical and take a trip to New York. And that's where she meets Kylo Ren. Not right away. She goes to like this play, and Kylo Ren plays the director on like Broadway kind of stuff, except his plays are not in Broadway.
Like a theater
just yet.
Guy.
Right. Yeah. He's like a director. And so she goes to see like one of his plays, except it's like really different. It's not in an actual theater at that point.
he was doing plays in his apartment or somebody's apartment. So it was very small, close, like a intimate theater play. And I guess she got blown away because she was struggling to kind of try to get roles and whatever in L.A. So when she saw this Kylo Ren thing, she was like blown away. She didn't know stuff like that existed. So she felt really infatuated for this guy, you know, this Kylo Ren guy. And then their relationship was hot and steamy. Boom, it took off. And then from there, you know, their relationship developed. They end up getting married. They have a kid. And in having the kid, she kind of explains, you know, she thought that it would enrich the relationship and, you know, make it more substance. And the story develops, you know, it goes on and on. She develops more of the story and what's going on. I don't want to give too much more. But needless to say, there is troubles with the relationship. And at that point, that's where the bulk of the story is taking off, that there's some, you know, conflict between them both. And at that point, Kylo Ren is really concentrating on his theater and being a director and trying to get onto Broadway. So he's very goal-oriented, very work-oriented. And you kind of see that conflict of him, you know, really concentrating on his career while his relationship with his wife is kind of taking some of the hits and having problems. So
that resonates with a lot of people, a lot of married people and even right. people. I mean, that resonates a lot with some people more driven with their careers and
right.
their home life or their domestic situations.
Right, right. And that's why I think the movie is very good. It's a very good movie because it, like you said, that's perfect. The way you mentioned it resonates. It resonates with tons of people because anybody can see themselves in these shoes. You have a relationship that's very passionate, very, you know, exciting, thrilling, new. It's something different. You're really infatuated with this person. And then you get into the married life. And sometimes that excitement might, you know, dwindle a little and might become more maybe mundane, like the day to day, like, hey, groceries, cooking, dinner, work, you know.
Maybe you got a kid and throw that into the mix.
Right, right. Now, a lot of that stuff is kind of like speeded up. You know, you don't really get to see a lot of it. So it's kind of like a montage and you kind of see some of this stuff. There's like day-to-day stuff happening. But it's very well done. It's all of it is very well done. I really like the way the movie. I like the pacing. The only thing is towards the end, like I mentioned, you get like that hope and like, man, I hope this and this happens. And when you see the outcome, you're just like, oh, well, I guess, you know, this story has to have this type of ending. So, very decent movie for all you people out there that like romantic movies, but it's not Lifetime romantic. This is actually realistic. It's not the typical, you know, some guy walks into your store and you have a flower shop and you fall in love and, you know, you know that kind of stuff. You know, it's not that kind of story.
Really but, dramatic.
Right, right. So even for that Star Wars lady, very well acted. She plays, like I mentioned, the legal counselor or whatever you want to call her.
Laura Dern.
Right. Very well acted. Very believable. When she acted her part, it really made me feel very like strongly for her. So she kind of hit it out of the park. I think she's kind of like the star of the three actors or the four actors if you include Ray Liotta. So I think she really takes a big lead into this movie. But very, very good done, man. But Andy, kind of jumping on to the next thing I kind of want to talk about really quick before we get into our article. Better Call Saul, man. I know it's been out for a while, and I believe they're starting season 5, if I remember correctly. It got its hooks back in me, man. I had watched season 1 when it first came out because I was a really big Breaking Bad fan.
Right.
So when Better Call Saul came out, I was really excited about it. So I watched season 1 And when season two came out, I kind of never picked it up. I never really watched it, and I kind of fell off of it. Season three came out, season four came out, and I never really watched any of it. So it was just kind of bored and not didn't really have anything to do. Like I mentioned, the last recording I watched, I was really, you know, hitting these TV shows pretty hard. So I was looking for something new to watch to kind of sink my teeth in. And I started watching season one again. I started watching it, catching up with it. And my wife actually was just passing by and caught a little bit of the show that I was watching. And I was already a couple episodes in. And she just sat down and she's like, isn't this the Breaking Bad stuff? And I'm like, yeah. So we started watching it and it became the next thing that we're hooked on. And we're in season three now. And man, this TV show is good, man. It's Breaking Bad good. I'm surprised I kind of fell off of it. And maybe because I have so many episodes to watch kind of in a row, it's a little easier to stay in tune with it. But man, it really got its hooks in me.
Well, Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul are actually, they're written very well.
Right.
And Better Call Saul, I was on it when it came on. I think I watched the first two seasons, and then I kind of got married and moved, and I never followed up on it again. And I see the trailers here and there, and yeah, I mean, it's always been well written, so I do want to jump on that bandwagon. Not bandwagon, I do want to jump back on that horse and watch it again, because I do want to see where he comes up going, because you're in the first two seasons, I just remember how he got his name, how he's morphing into Saul, that character, that lawyer. And, you know,
yeah,
and
Saul Goodman.
And he does have some, and you find out he's from the Midwest, he's from Chicago, Cicero Eddie, you know, like, we don't want, Cicero Eddie to come back, and all that, and the things with his brother and the big lawyer guy from the other firm, and he always tries to do good, and then something always happens where he gets a little, he starts doing some tricks. So I mean, it's something I might have to rewatch from the beginning to because it's been a couple years since I've seen him.
Yeah, I mean, I felt the same way. Even though I had finished season one before prior, I just had to rewatch it again just to kind of, you know, refresh my memory. And even now that I'm in season three, I kind of got the itch to watch Breaking Bad again. Just because, man, it's that good. It's got that same writing style. It's got that same premise. And you get like these pops when you see these characters that were in Breaking Bad and they show up in Better Call Saul. And it kind of fleshes out these characters a lot better. And it's just really, really good, man. For anybody that liked Breaking Bad, this is definitely something right up there. And it's something great to see. From reading the wiki really quick, it looks like the sixth season is going to be the final one. So
they are going to finish it up.
Right. Or at least the wiki makes mention that the show's in the fifth season and it's going to premiere actually next week. Season five is premiering, and the sixth will be its final season, or it's slated to be their final season for next year. So there is going to be a conclusion to the character and the show, and it's exciting, man. For anybody out there that likes that Breaking Bad style, definitely a must watch. Me and my wife are hooked. We're into season three. We got season four to go, and it sounds like season five is starting up next week. So some good stuff definitely to watch out there. And the last piece, like Andy, like you kind of teased, you know, you gave a little tease at the top. Valentine's, man.
Just ram it in there, Danny.
Yeah. It's not a hole in the wall, for, for God's sake. But Valentine's just finished, man. And I got to say, man, had a great Valentine's dinner with my wife. Exchanged some presents at the start of Valentine's when I got out of work on Friday. But we saved a dinner for Saturday. You know, we're kind of thinking, you know, want to beat the rush. You know, people are probably going to go on Fridays. But from talking to you, it doesn't sound like it was like that. But our Valentine's dinner, we went to a wildfire, we had some gift certificates that we have gotten for gifts for Christmas. So we decided to go out there and have one of the better meals that we've had, and you know, all be comped, you know, from these gift cards. So I got me a ribeye steak, a bone-in ribeye, and man, it was delicious. I got the cheddar baked potato. Oh man, that was like to die for. Along with some shrimps for appetizers. We got like these jumbo shrimps and some pretzel bread. And then we finished it off with some dessert. It was like an apple crumble with a scoop of ice cream. It was just the best, man. The only thing I was missing was kind of drinks. I asked my wife, and she said that she had taken like some Sudafed or something because her allergies were kind of acting up. So she's like, I can't drink. And so I kind of felt bad. So I'm like, all right, we won't get any drinks. But that was about the only thing that was kind of missing. Maybe a good cup of wine or maybe like some whiskey on the rocks or something. So, but man, it was a great dinner.
How many years have you been celebrating Valentine's Day with your wife, Danny? I mean, because you guys have been together for a long time. I stopped counting a while back.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I'd have to count them myself, but it's got to be like 14 years or so that we've been together. Yeah, so yeah. It's been quite a few Valentine's dinners, and we typically don't go to restaurants like that wildfire unless a good friend of us invites us, you know, with like a good invite to go out for dinner.
You take him to wildfire, he'll meet up any fan as long as you take him to wildfire.
Hell yeah.
You invite him.
Yeah, if you invite me, for sure. Get some of those cocktail jumbo shrimps for sure. But yeah, man, it was a great time. Took my son Junior with us, and even he ate some pizza. It was like a gourmet pizza, but he liked it. He really dug it.
Real, and then you mentioned you had the bone-in ribeye. Have you had? I know you're not a ribeye guy. Usually get like a New York strip or something. I imagine. And how was the meat? Was it like the best steak you ever had, or have you had better? Or like,
right, man. Yeah. I think I mentioned this a few, you know, maybe like a year ago on a podcast or whatever, but man, I didn't know what steak was growing up, man. I used to be one of those guys that you would order steak and you would just drown it in steak sauce. And you just thought that was, I always thought that was the way
it is. Yeah.
You ate steak, you know, you drown it in the steak sauce that kind of overpowers the taste of it. And I just didn't know any better. And when I went once to a Weber Grill, dating Alana, and we got, you know, I got a very good steak, and he's like, "Do you need anything else?" And I'm like, "Yeah, can I get some steak sauce?" And so the guy brings the steak sauce, but while he's bringing it, I'm just like, "Ah, let me just take a bite out of it just to kind of hold me off until this sauce comes over." And I start cutting into it. I take a bite, and man, it was delicious. And I'm like, "Holy shit, you don't need to put anything on this thing." And ever since then, I'm like, I don't want to ruin the steak with any kind of like overpowering sauce. I don't even put salt and pepper on it. I just eat the steak like that. And unless the steak is terrible or you're at a good place, it's delicious just like that, just however they season it. So
you're in Mahomes where you put ketchup on your steak, right? Patrick Mahomes puts ketchup on his steak.
Oh, he puts ketchup?
That's why in the commercial for the cloud, Amazon Cloud, you see him, he has a steak and he's putting ketchup on it. He goes, yeah, and he's like, what? What are you going to do about it? Because, like, yeah, you don't do that to get steak, you know?
Yeah, I was that guy before. But I guess to answer your long story for your answer, Andy, the ribeye was excellent, man. Typically I don't get the ribeye because I have to pay for it. And the ribeye is usually like one of the more expensive cuts. So usually, yeah, I get the, you know, like a New York strip, or I'll get the porterhouse if I'm like, you know, trying to splurge a little bit. But yeah, this time I got the ribeye, which is one of the better cuts with the bone. Oh, man, it was just delicious. And then my wife got the hell do you call that? The shit where they cover it with like breading on the outside.
Beef Wellington.
That's what she got. And she was just like, oh my God, this is the best ever. So yeah, it was great time, great atmosphere. Jr. had a good time even, and we all ate great. We all ate like kings. And at the end of it, the gift cards that I had covered the whole tab. So it was a great time all throughout. But Andy, how was your Valentine's? Tell us about your time over there in the Aguirre household.
So, yeah, I mean, we have the same interest, except I actually went on a Valentine's date on Valentine's because I was smart enough to make reservations. And I was even more smarter to tell my wife to book an extra reservation on her name so I could sell it to some desperate schmo and make a quick, like, $40 on it. And so I made the reservations, and we went to the steakhouse, and I was talking to this guy at work, and he's like, oh, man, like the week of leading, because, you know, Valentine's was on Friday. I'm like, so what are you guys doing for Valentine's? And he goes, oh, yeah, we're going to go to this, you know, the same steakhouse. But he was going to a different location, and I'm just like, he's like, yeah, I got to call him. So he calls. He's like, they're booked solid, so they only had, like, a really late lunch, like 2:30 available at 3 o'clock, and like a really late dinner, like 9:30. And he's like, I can't do that. I'm like, yeah, man, I have an extra reservation available, but it's not in your town. It's closer to where I work at. And he goes, yeah. And he goes, man, I'll buy it off you. And I'm like, well, that's why I made this fucking reservation. So I'm like, all right, man, I made some extra money here. And I go to my wife and I get home like, you booked that reservation, right? The second reservation. She goes, you were serious about that? I'm like, yeah, I was fucking serious. Like, someone's going to give me money for it. She's like, I didn't book it. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? So I was like,
wow. So she didn't book it?
No, man. I was ready to sell this reservation, and I was going to make points on it because it's through an app. And I was just like, oh, man. Well, that sucks. I had to go break the news to him. And then he was kind of hinting like, well, maybe we should all like, go together, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, nah, man, this is it's a me and my wife thing. I gotta spit that hot fire for later on tonight, you know? So, but that being said, I lost out on that money because I'm always hustling, you know, I'm from the streets. We get there, nah, surprisingly, Dan, it was dead. I mean, I thought it was gonna be worse, and we got there, we check in, we get seated right away. There wasn't a lot of people waiting. This is at 7 o'clock, and they're walking us to our table, and I see a lot of empty tables and nobody waiting. So I think a lot of people got freaked out because it was Friday, and they didn't go, or the weather, it was kind of really cold that night, if I remember. Right.
Yeah, it was a little chilly.
I think people got freaked out, or they just ordered like heart shaped pizzas, like I did last year, and I think that's what they did.
Right. I was surprised when we kind of talked about it a little bit that it was as dead as you mentioned, because when I went on Saturday, our reservations were for 6:15. It was packed, man. I mean, there wasn't a bar stool available. All the little stools and chairs that they have by the front, they were all filled. So it was packed. And when we got there like 6:10-ish or something. It was definitely before our appointment or our reservation. And they're just like, yeah, we're running a little bit late. So we had to wait like maybe like 10, 15 minutes before we got our table.
Yeah. I mean, we got there, it was dead. So I don't want to say I was disappointed. I thought it was going to be more busy, but it wasn't. But, I mean, overall, we had a good experience. Me and my wife are, I call us, like, notorious people watchers. Like, we like to people watch.
Oh, you like to be hating on people, Andy?
I like to monitor what other people are doing. And my wife's like, look at that guy over there. He's holding his partner or his girlfriend's wife, I don't know, hand. And I'm like, what a loser. And I'm like, so it was ridiculous. And he was like laying it on like really thick. And there was this other guy, there was another couple that got there after we got seated, but he was like rushing his woman, which I found it kind of interesting. And the guy comes as usual, like, oh yeah, you know, they're eating, they get their food, and then they eat real quick, and then they left before us, and then they bring the dessert sampler thing. He's like, I don't want anything, just bring me the check. And then he's like, please. And then he just pay. They bring the receipt and the check, and he pays it, and they leave. And I was like, damn, that guy was in a hurry. So I was like, man, I wonder if they had plans or they're just going back home. So, like, me and my wife's like, I think they're just going back home. I'm like, I don't know, man. I think they're going to a bar or something.
Yeah, I guess if they're solo without kids, then maybe some of them do go to a bar afterwards and have some drinks, because the drinks there are kind of expensive, man. I mean, everything on the menu is kind of expensive, I guess, at Wildfire. But when I was looking at the like the drinks and the mixed drinks, man, there was nothing cheaper than, you know, $15-$20 per drink. And I was just like, man, like, you know, I don't really hit the bar scene a lot, so maybe those are regular pricing everywhere. But it just seemed expensive to me.
Danny's like, do you have 50-cent drafts? They're like, excuse me? I'm like, no. But, I mean, we had Wildfire never disappoints. I mean, you know what you're going to get. My wife got filet mignon. I got a porterhouse steak. It was pretty good. We enjoyed each other's company. I mean, this would be, what, my fourth year since I've been – technically my third year. I'll be celebrating Valentine's with my wife because we met in 2016. But after Valentine's Day, it was like around March. Our first day was in March. So, yeah, we had a good time. It wasn't too bad. It was I don't want to say the night was boring, but it was non-eventful. And we just
even discussed. Even in the bedroom?
Nah, man, that's later. That shit was, I got videos of that. Anybody want to see it, man? It was explosive. It was not boring. Yeah. I'm like, you know, Jake the Snake Roberts. I need some crazy shit going to get me going. I can't just have normal missionary sex here, you know?
All right.
But, you know, I mean, we had a great time. We talked about what's going on. We reflect on the year and, you know, the interesting thing, Dan, that night we were talking about, I was just like,
we should have invited Daniel.
No, your name never came up.
Oh, okay.
I was like, man, you know, I wouldn't mind. We should have just gone to this local pub by our, a bar by our house and just had a heart-shaped pizza and some beer. She goes, yeah, I would have been more up for that than this. I'm like, are you fucking serious? And I was just like, did we miss out on, like, drinking beer and eating pizza?
Yeah, because I guess you don't eat too much pizza nowadays, right?
No, not with the diet I'm on. So I'm doing like a keto thing, and so I'm not eating too many carbs. But I was like, man, I think I missed out. But it worked out for you. I mean, I had a great steak. She had filet mignon. We had shrimp cocktails. We had the gift card that we get from work as a prize. And overall, I mean, it was great. I mean, we just... Like I said, we people watch. I make fun of people. We talk. We conversate. And it leads to other activities later on in the night, you know?
Yeah, you're like, man, you got the filet mignon, so you're going to have to pay up.
We had she would have got the lobster tail, then it would have been on. Anything goes, you know? I don't know how that rule, works, man. In marriage, because we're not dating. That's only works in dating. So guys. If it works for marriage, as is in when you're on a date, when you order that lobster.
Right. It works all across the board.
It breaks all rules and cultures, Danny. That's like you order the expensive shit. You got to, you know what's going to happen, right?
Hell yeah. It's like, don't say you don't want it in the hair because it could go anywhere.
But, you know, we had a great time. I love my wife dearly, and we had a good time. I was just kind of shocked. Like, I could have. She when we talked about the heart shaped pizza, I'm like, I wouldn't mind that. And I was like, man, I could have saved some money, but I think in the long run, this was worth it. Because who knows when we might have some fancy restaurant time down the road.
Right.
But so, yeah, we got home, and as the other thing I wanted to talk about, I recently, you know, I know you've done it. You've done it for, I think, a fucking 10 years now, but I've literally cut cable. I cut the cord in my house, and it's been a couple weeks now, and it's been, I don't want to say interesting, but it is an adjustment, because now that you know that there's no cable, you're like, what the fuck, man? You could always fall back onto on-demand or something, because I've had Xfinity cable, and now I'm relying on my only on my internet and a bunch of apps, you know?
Right, yeah. Yeah, I've cut the cord for a while now, and it was definitely a transition piece, mostly with sports was the hardest hit, because I was used to, at that time, Comcast Sports. I don't even know if they're still around. But
NBC
I was
Sports now.
NBC Sports, yeah. That shows you how long ago I cut the cord. But, yes, I all the baseball, you know, basketball games, even though I'm not a huge basketball head, and then football on ESPN, so... Yeah, that was like the worst adjustment, but you get used to it. Like you mentioned, a lot of apps. You got, you know, half decent internet. You could really watch just about anything.
Well, yeah, you know, we tell people, like, you know, in our culture, you know,
Latino culture or what?
The Latino culture. We grew up on TV, and we didn't have cable when I was growing up, but when we got cable, man, we never looked back. We've had cable in my house from all aspects of my life, you know, from like 10, 11 years old and above. Even when my dad paid the cable guy like $100 to install cable, to be paid legit, and to up to now to my whole adult life, we've always had cable. I mean, we did not have cable for like maybe more than a week or two.
Cable and satellite, right?
And I've had satellite. Well, that's the thing. In my old house, before I moved out here, I had DirecTV. I had the satellite. And what I was paying there with the internet, I was getting like 100 more channels than I was what I was paying at the end at this house. I was literally paying like with the internet and the channels, it was like 130. Over here, I was paying $200 and I wasn't even getting half the channels that I was getting, and I had the internet, and I was like, this is a ripoff, like, you know.
And that's actually like a half decent deal, because I've heard some people cable bills are like $300 a month, man. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's ridiculous, dude. I mean, and plus, you know, I'm trying to save money here. It's expensive, man. And I'm sounding like the old man, get off my yard, but get off my grass. Punks, but it's an adjustment, and we've done all right. We got Hulu, we got Disney Plus, we got Amazon Prime. Get rid of Netflix, and my wife, like this week, told me like, I don't know if I like the Disney Plus. I'd rather have Netflix, and I'm just like, whoa, you don't even use Disney Plus. Disney Plus has all the fucking Simpsons, and it has a lot of cool shit on there. And Hulu is, I think she kind of like likes Hulu now because there's more current stuff and she does watch it more. But she's been falling back on Amazon Prime.
Right. Yeah. At my household, it's the same thing. We got Hulu and Amazon Prime. We don't have Netflix. And yeah, man, I miss Netflix every now and then. They do have some good TV show. But for the most part, it is Amazon Prime or Hulu at our house.
And then the nice little app these two apps that I found, I Googled some blog. I got some info from some blogs. The Pluto TV, which is kind of refreshing because it does have a lot of old shows and some current shows and a lot of network stuff which is kind of weird when I first found it. I'm like, I don't get this, but okay, like I can work with this. It has a conspiracy channel. It has a kung fu channel and movies and Spanish and wrestling. And I was like, okay,
Spice this is channel.
Unfortunately, it didn't have that, but you could always use, you know, Pornhub.
All right.
And the Tubi TV has been kind of cool. I kind of messed around with it the other day. It has some nostalgia shows. They had like Transformers and G.I. Joe from the 80s. I watched a little bit of that. And so it's definitely an adjustment. Like I was talking about earlier, I tell some of our in-laws and my mom that we don't have cable, and they looked at me like I was fucking crazy. Like, what are you going to do? I'm like, we got the internet. And they're like, the internet? And like, they're kind of shocked. They were kind of shocked that we were, they, I think they were thinking I was putting their child, my wife, through some, like, I was punishing her or something.
Hardship, Andy.
Yeah, like, we're broke, and they see us, you know, they think we're ballers or something. I don't know, but it was an adjustment for them, and they did have some hard time, I don't want to say accepting it, but I think they didn't understand. They think we're, like, I'm thinking they think that we're having some hardship or some financial issues. We literally cut the cable.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, you kind of put me onto what the hell is that name of the program already? To download the and watch the TV shows and channels.
Pluto TV.
Pluto. I'm sorry. Yeah, Pluto. Man, I got to start taking some vitamins for memory. But yeah, you turn.
This happens at your old age. You might need some pills for something else for bedroom activities too.
Not yet.
Okay to admit it, Nick.
If there's anywhere that it's cool to admit it, it's on a podcast, Andy. But
if we get sponsored, we would gladly take those pills. Oh, I know Danny will at least.
Hell yeah, man! You could make Valentine's even that much better, man. You're like, baby, this is gonna be special. But yeah, you turned me on to Pluto, and you know, just for like the few days I've seen it, it's actually pretty good, man. I was surprised how much TV is on there. Now, granted, it is TV, and I see they have an on-demand thing, but I didn't really watch that too much. I just watched whatever was on live TV, and man, there was a lot of good programming, good stuff to watch. Where all you got to do is just stream it. I mean, it's free.
Yeah, I mean, it's an excellent app or service. I don't know even what to call it, but they constantly add, I call them channels, but I don't know what to call, but they just recently added a Kevin Hart's LOL channel or something like that, and it has a lot of stand-up comedies, and it's having, I noticed it today during lunch, they had the Def Comedy Jam. They're just playing the old Def Comedy Jams from the 90s.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, there you go, man. I started watching, like, I remember some of the comics and shit like that. But it you know, it does have it has a lot of stuff from like A&E, CNN. It has news channels. I mean, like, fuck, I watch a lot of Fox News, but it doesn't. I mean, it's not on there, but they have CBS, CNN, MSNBC, and there's other ways you could get to watch some of that stuff. But it's all, what's the best part? It's all in one app, and it made the cutting the cord a lot easier.
Right. I was watching a documentary yesterday on Waco, Texas.
Yes.
I was watching
Man or Messiah. I want to see that. I saw that. Yeah.
Yeah. I only got to see part one of it. And it was very well done. I mean, it must have been a recent documentary because it looked really high production.
That was
on
A&E.
Oh, okay.
It's an A&E production, I think.
Yeah. It was very good. Very well made. And then afterwards, I started watching the Chinese Connection. So, man, it's got a little of everything.
Yeah, I mean, it has a little of everything. And like I said, it's a great option for people who are cutting the cord. If you guys have any recommendations, you know where to send our emails or suggestions at ffnquestions@gmail.com and let us know what you guys think about it, or what services that I use that are free or you pay for besides the big ones we all know about. If there's some, or the websites, you know, let us know what you guys think. We got a, you know, transition here, and we're going to go into our article of the week. When we were talking about this, getting ready for this week, Dan, and what brought me, what kind of shocked me was when I first sent you the article, and you're like, "What the hell is this?" And like, all you saw was Mexican, and you're like, "What kind of racist shit is this?" So the article goes to, it's called "Mexican Researcher Accused of Being a Russian Agent in Miami." And the article, which, I mean, first of all, a Mexican working with a Russian, this really intrigued me. And then the way the article goes, I don't know, it kind of bore, I mean, it's the Miami Herald, and there's a big, you know, Miami, the big Latino community with the Cubans. But I feel like they're kind of shitting on Mexicans here, man. Like, like right into the second sentence, they go, as he stood in Miami federal court, Hector Cabrera Fuentes didn't exactly look like an international man of mystery. But Cabrera, a short and stocky Mexican citizen, was charged Tuesday with being an unregistered foreign agent for Russia. And I'm like, well, damn, they're already shitting on this guy. They're calling him fat and short, you know?
Right. Man, when I started reading this article, that was, I mean, first when you gave me this article and I just saw that header and I'm just like, man, what the hell is it with the Mexican shit?
Yeah.
And then
yeah,
when I started reading it, like you said, man, it was just like this isn't an international man of mystery. And I was just like, damn, man, right away they start shitting on this guy.
Yeah. And, you know, but the other thing he goes, he says, he has a lot of bank accounts and jobs in different parts of the world, and that he makes $7,500 a month as a researcher for a university in Singapore. Hey, I want that job. And he makes another $5,000 a month being a part-time job with an Israeli company that's based in Germany. Okay, that's interesting. And then he has $100,000 in bank accounts in Mexico, Singapore, and the United States. But the interesting part he wrote on here, he's married to a Mexican national or however you want his in Mexico. He's married to a woman there. But what the interesting, he went on to admit that he told the FBI agents that he had a second wife who's Russian with two daughters.
Right.
And he said that he met them when he would go on trips to Russia. While he met with Putin's government intelligence agent. So this is some like American shit, like, you know, the show Americans, where I feel like, I don't know, it's just interesting. And they busted, when they arrested him, they arrested him with his Mexican wife. Here in the criminal affidavit, Cabrera arrived with his Mexican wife last Thursday and rented a Chrysler sedan and drove directly to the Maya area condominium complex, where they apparently went trying to record or get some intelligence on an FBI counterintelligence guy. And this is just very interesting. I'm kind of worried about, not worried, but I'm like, they're shitting on him, and then it finds out they put more dirt on him because, you know, this guy's an asshole because he has two wives. And then one of them's Russian, and they're just like, I don't know what to make of all this. It's, you know, one minute they're saying he ain't very good, and one minute, but yet he has two wives and he's short and fat. So I guess he's doing something right.
Yeah, I thought it was weird how the interrogators got all this information out of him. Is this guy just dumb and he's like forecoming all this information? Like, yeah, I met with Putin's intelligence, and yeah, I've been, you know, traveling a lot and talking to all these different people, and yeah, I got two wives and I got kids here and I got kids there. It's just like, damn, man, did they start waterboarding this guy, or how did he give off so much information?
Well, I think when they arrested him, they're like, they went through his phone, and I'm like, this guy was a real fucking spy. Why would he use his own phone? I would figure there was like all this stuff not to get caught. You know, and it just, that's what I'm saying. Like, none of this, I don't want to say, I'm like, I'm not some fucking spy expert, but and then the other thing he says, he got a public defender in court,
right? Because he said, I can't get access to my money,
yeah,
and none of my family knows that I'm here, so he just got a free public defendant. And I'm just like, what? If you got that much money and you're this, you know, international man, you gotta have some kind of money to call up, you know, the wolf and be like, hey, wolf, this is my problem. And he comes there like in 15 minutes and takes care of everything.
Yeah, and then this is how he gets arrested. Where is it? He was arrested at Monday by FBI agents after he was stopped the previous day in Miami International Airport by U.S. Customs for an officer who inspected his cell phone before his scheduled departure for Mexico on Sunday. So they looked at it. I guess your custom guy goes, not how to look for Russian spy numbers. And then later on in the article, they go, his cell phone showed that there had been interaction between Cabrera and his Russian handler, according to the affidavit. Like, how does the feds, or how does a custom guy, you know, knows that, okay, this is a Russian collaborator and this is the Russian handler? Then nowhere in here they talk about where they, if the handler's in the United States, is he in Russia? Like, this is where I'm like, how the fuck does this work when you're a spy? They just give you money to go take some pictures and shit? Like, it just, it baffles my mind.
Right. I don't think the story does very well to kind of set the timeline. Did this all transpire over like a week? Did this all happen within hours? And this custom agent is like the man of the year, and he's got all this information and all these resources to get all of this information, because they also tracked down that he was taking pictures of a U.S. intelligence agent that was, or some kind of intelligence agent for the FBI that was providing information to the FBI, and that he was taking pictures of them. So how did they figure that out unless he told them about it and said, yeah, here, the pictures are on my phone kind of thing? I don't get it, man. There's a lot of unknowns in this story.
I mean, when I've gone through customs, they've never once looked at my phone. I mean, so that's why I'm like, that's like the first flag. And then the second thing is, how did they determine, like, I don't know. I don't want to say if the customs figured out, like, okay, this guy is talking to the Russians, we got to do something. And like, and then they arrested him a day later. Like, how were they able to recognize anything? What, they put his phone in like they in a USB thing? I mean, like, that's what I'm getting. Like, how fucking quickly were they able to ascertain, like, okay, this guy's a spy, like, we have to do something? Like, I don't think it works that fast in the spy game. I mean, I could be wrong, I don't fucking know, but it's just the article is very interesting, and that's why I brought it up. Like, how quickly this guy, I think a matter of like days, like less than a week, they arrested him. And as soon, because he was going to depart back to Mexico, and they got his ass like a day later or a couple of days later from the, what I can tell from the timeline.
Right. Did you see his picture? He kind of reminded me of Gravy from high school.
Yeah, that's what I was saying, dude. It's just like, it's your typical, like, not typical Mexican, but. Like, he looks familiar to a lot where we come from. You see a lot of those guys, you know.
We all look alike, Andy?
Something like that. According to this fucking article, we do. We're all fucking short and stocky fucking Mexicans.
I thought, you know, maybe it was that I started hating it because, you know, they kept dropping Mexicans all throughout the article.
Because you woke, Danny.
I thought it was weird how they were like, yeah, and he was with his Mexican wife. And I'm like, in driving in a sedan, and I'm like, how come you didn't give the make and model of the sedan? You know why? Because it's not important to the story. So why even tell your readers that this lady was Mexican? What does that have to do with anything? It's his wife, and I would have left it at that.
And then that, right in the top of the article, they got a picture of Putin, right? And then it's just like, I mean, maybe he is a spy. I'm not saying he's not. It's just the article. I guess I'm shitting on the Miami Herald because none of this shit makes sense. And the way they portray him is like they're shitting on him, you know? The affidavit says Cabrera visited the complex to spy on a resident at the direction of an agent with the Russian intelligence service, which operates under President Vladimir Putin. They're saying like Putin said, yo, Paisa, go fucking take pictures of this guy.
Right.
It turned out that the resident was an informant for the FBI's counterintelligence, blah, 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 who provides information on Russian spying activities in South Florida. Yeah. And it's weird.
Yeah, I mean, the article is okay. I just think what was needed was more of a timeline, maybe a peppered throughout, be like months later it was found out through an affidavit that this and this happened, and then intelligence agents weeks after that found out that he was doing this and that, you know, some kind of timeline, because it makes it sound like all this information was gathered within hours, and it's just kind of like confusing the way they peppered it throughout the article.
The other thing, usually you get denials from countries that if you catch a spy, they like, oh, he's not a spy or shit like that. And they're not really, the government of Mexico is not really saying much. and the Russians. Well, the Russians are never going to really say shit, but I mean, I'm shocked they took him to court that quick, and it's like very public. So to me, like, this, none of this makes sense, because you know how, you know, to segue a little bit, the coronavirus is all these conspiracy theories that it's some man-made virus. And they started to say that this virus or some form of it was in Canada. Have you seen those rumors, Danny? You know how the Canadians supposedly just kicked out, or they arrested these Chinese spies in their school or wherever they had this virus? They believe they were able to get some of it out to China, and that's why it got mishandled in China, and that's why this Wuhan coronavirus got out, because they stole it from, like, Canada or something like that. Have you seen that? Have you read anything like that?
No, this is the first time hearing about it. But
yeah,
you never know, man. A lot of these viruses, man, they are man-made. You know, I don't want to be some kind of conspiracy nut with a tinfoil hat, but a lot of shit happens in the government that you're just, like, unaware of. And the way they do it is they slowly bring it out there. They slowly pepper out stuff, and to the point where you're so unaware of it because you're accustomed to this gradual impediment into your life that stuff like this happens, man. And you're just, like, unaware that there's a larger motive, you know, happening.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. It's, there's spies everywhere. You know, I'm a little conspiracy nut, but and in Boston, I believe they just busted a professor. He was getting money from the Chinese, and they were saying he was a spy for the Chinese, that he was getting grants to do his studies, and they're finding out he was, like, pocketing the money, or so, not pocketing it, but I might have misread that, but allegedly he was using the funds to further his research, and that the Chinese are very good. And then, like, oh yeah, you want to do that? Here's some money, but do it over here at our facilities. And, you know, but we own everything. And supposedly he was giving up secrets, allegedly, to the Chinese for grant money, or that's how they disguised it, from my understanding. And, you know, I mean, I don't think it takes that much to get you to spy on people, for governments, for corporate espionage. I mean, if the money's right, I think people will just give up anything, information, sensitive info to anybody. I mean, because, I mean, look at this guy. He was getting $7,500 a month for some part-time or teaching in Singapore. Like, what kind of bullshit is this? It's, to me, it sounds like they're laundering money to him, so he could have money. And then he was getting $5,000 a month from some German company, some Israeli company in Germany. I think that's some front for the Russians to give him money to have monthly, you know?
But granted, the way the article makes mention is that he is the one that gave him this information, that he made that money. For all we know, he's some broke-ass guy that doesn't have anything to his name. And maybe he's just trying to make himself seem important, like, hey, I'm this big shot, you know, kind of Lee Harvey Oswald kind of style, where trying to make himself seem more important than, after everything was said and done and investigations were done, you just found out that he was just some poor country kid that, you know, was trying to make a name somewhere in Cuba and Russia, and nobody really wanted him, kind of thing. It could be the same thing with this guy.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's, I mean, it's interesting to see what kind of temptation. But he lived in Mexico, and he just traveled a lot. And that's what I'm saying. Like, why would they fly in a guy from Mexico to go spy in Florida and then just leave back? Like, that's what I don't understand. He's like some contractor, you know? And then he brought his wife, and apparently his wife's in on it. And I don't see here that she's charged in anything, you know?
Right. Yeah, it's really weird. I'm thinking, because of the article's missing some information, it just makes everything a little more confusing. But yeah, shit like that does happen. There are spies out there, man.
Would you be a spy for your country then? Or for Freeform Network?
You know, It'd be a little difficult. You know, I have a family, so I don't know if I could afford to just give up everything. But there's people out there like that, man. There's people out there that, are willing to try to live an exciting life and, you know, do all that stuff. I tend to lean to that this guy, he ain't really shit, and that he just wanted to make himself more
important.
He
had two wives, Danny. That takes some heart to do to convince two women to marry you.
Well, according to him, because where I read his mention of the money that he made and that he has two wives, it's under quotation, so it's more like he told the investigators, and in this affidavit, he's like, yeah, I got two wives, and it's just like, oh, I got three, you can't wait.
Yeah, and then the other thing at the end, he goes, the agent instructed Cabrera not to tell his Russian wife that he was meeting with him. He also promised Cabrera that he would help the Russian wife and her daughters get out of Russia. We can help each other. So I'm fucking confused here. Like, is he trying to get his other wife? Is the Mexican one, like, the front, the cover? Or is it the Russian one, the one that he really loves? I just, like I said, I have more questions than answers. And I think Cabrera is getting a bad rap by the Miami Herald. So, like, I don't know. This shit intrigues me. But to me, it sounds like I'm going to get my Alex Jones cap on here. It's a fucking con job, you know, by the Shycoms. Because,
it's a state job, Andy.
It's a fucking inside job here because this guy, to me, like, they, just to take a picture, they went through all this bullshit. Like, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, you never know, man. But you know what? We have some international listeners, so send in your thoughts to ffnquestions@gmail.com. Let us know, does this guy look like an international spy of mystery, you know, Austin Power style? I don't really think so. But that's all with the time we have for today. We'd like to thank you all for listening. Remember to tune in to FFN Network at Facebook and Twitter at Freeform Network. Visit our webpage at freeformnetwork.podbean.com. You're going to see all of our links, all of our episodes. We're 100-plus episodes in there in the archives. Go listen to all of our past episodes for some good, funny stuff. Hit that like and subscribe button on whatever platform that you're listening to. We really appreciate it, and it helps the numbers keep us towards the top. But for Freeform Radio, my name is Daniel. With me today is Andy.
It's all good. And also on the website, guys, you can listen to all our episodes, Coalition Era and After Coalition Era and Pre-Coalition Era. And we outlasted them. So, you know, check it out. There's plenty more to come, guys.
Yes, sir. I'd like to thank you all again for listening. Have a great weekend, and we will see you in a few weeks.
That was cool, Dad.